Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor Stock Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon. That's for sure. We enjoy your company. Joining us now by phone, we've got Brendan Fisher for the Center for Media and Democracy. Brendan, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure, Brendan. Always a pleasure. Last time you were on, we were talking about the upcoming ALEC event in Raleigh. What's going on there?
So actually ALEC had their most recent meeting in San Diego, and you know there's some new news coming out of Missouri. So ALEC, of course, corporate bill mill, brings state legislators together with corporate lobbyists from around the country, and they have a few days of parties and mingling and workshops, and the Cokes and co-funded groups hand legislators the model bills that they want enacted into law. And it really all operates in secret. These meetings are happening behind closed doors. Legislators and lobbyists get an equal vote on model legislation. But even outside of the meetings, I mean, in some ways, that's where the real influence peddling happens. After the days of workshops and model bill discussion, the lobbyists take the legislators out to dinner. They take them to parties, sometimes take them to strip clubs. And in many cases, the public is not finding out about that influence peddling. In many ways, that's what's most shocking about ALEC, because there are ethics laws in many states that require that lobbyists disclose how much they're spending on meals and how much they're spending on gifts to lawmakers. In some cases, it's prohibited altogether, but at a minimum, it needs to be disclosed. And somehow, through ALEC, lobbyists are giving thousands of dollars of gifts to lawmakers, and it's not getting disclosed at all. And there was a Missouri Ethics Commission decision that just came out yesterday, finding that lobbyists did in fact spend about $6,000 on a meal for legislators, but reported the gift as an expense to the entire assembly, as opposed to naming the five lawmakers who actually benefited, which would give the public the tools needed to be able to tell which lawmakers were being influenced and by whom. So in some ways, it's sort of a snapshot into the way that ALEC operates. It's one of the few instances of a state ethics board actually intervening and recognizing how much secrecy surrounds these ALEC meetings, and how much special interest influence is being facilitated over lawmakers and over policy, but without any sort of public oversight.
This is incredible. I mean, I think the average person knows that if you're a lobbyist, you can't take out senators and congressmen and wine them and dine them. There's actually cash limits there. I mean, I think it's $25 for a dinner. I mean, you that's it. But the long and short of this is if this is going on, where's the enforcement arm on this? Why is this continuing? Why are people being allowed to do this without having to pay the piper?
Yeah, so the rules differ state by state. In some states, there's a low limit, you know, maybe $25. A lobbyist can't spend more than $25 in gifts to legislators. In states like Wisconsin, where we're located, there's an actual gift ban, so a lobbyist can't even buy a cup of coffee for a lawmaker. But through ALEC, they're basically funneling thousands of dollars of gifts to legislators. Legislators are going to these ALEC meetings on the corporate dime with their flights and hotel rooms paid for by the same lobbying interests that benefit from the introduction and passage of model legislation. After hours, they're being taken out to meals, they're being taken out to parties. And it's oftentimes not disclosed, and it would appear to run afoul of many states' ethics laws. And in every state, they get around the ethics laws in different ways. They try and get around the ethics laws in different ways. In some places, they've written an explicit exception into the ethics laws for gifts provided by ALEC conferences. Sometimes they call the ALEC conferences educational events where they're going to help the legislature as a whole. So therefore, it's okay for legislators to accept gift the flights and hotel rooms and meals. But there does need to be greater oversight by the public and by these ethics boards. And you're seeing more of it. You're seeing more complaints being filed, in large part because there's more attention being paid to these ALEC conferences. ALEC's been around for more than 40 years, but throughout most of their existence, there was zero public attention whatsoever. Press were not showing up at these meetings. Citizen groups were not showing up and IDing the legislators who were getting taken out by lobbyists. So with more attention being paid to ALEC, I think there's more of those opportunities for oversight. But a lot of these ethics boards do have to step up and actually enforce the laws that are on the books. And luckily, that's what Missouri has done, at least to an extent.
Yeah, and do you think we're going to see any fallout from this, or is it, oh, I'm just going to pay them back, kind of?
Yeah, it's basically a slap on the wrist. They found that that the way that this gift was reported did violate the rules, but they issued no fines. They just required that the lobbyists amend their report and specifically name the lawmakers who benefited from these gifts. So you know, it's not a huge victory, but it's a positive step because hopefully it sends a message that they can't operate with, that these lobbyists and legislators can't operate with complete impunity. And again, I would anticipate that there would be more of these complaints filed moving on as more reporters go to these meetings and they report on who's attending and they report on the gifts that are being provided. So it does provide this snapshot into the way that ALEC works and into the way that these secret gifts are provided. And even if this is a slap on the wrist, I think it's a positive sign.
Yeah, I think it's a positive sign. I think we're moving in the right direction. You know, it's incredible to me that there are a lot of organizations, a lot of people out there that absolutely positively, when they're in office, don't want any sunshine. And I'm thinking about Scott Walker. Scott Walker is all about sunshine for everybody else's business, but except for his and his cronies, yeah?
Yeah. You've seen that pretty much throughout his... throughout his career, as county executive, he had a secret email router in his office in order to evade the open records law. When he was running for the recall election, he worked hand in glove with a dark money group, with a nonprofit group that doesn't disclose its donors, with the purpose of evading the state's campaign finance disclosure laws. And then just in the last few months, he was part of an effort to gut the state's public records law. And we're currently litigating an open records lawsuit against the governor. And throughout this, there just seems to be this idea that being transparent or having any sort of public accountability to your constituents somehow interferes with your job. I think it's just indicative of how elected officials can forget who they're working for. They're not working for the campaign donors and lobbyists. They're working for they're working for the public.
Right. And Brendan, let me ask you this. You know, how many people around Governor Scott Walker and his emails have gone to jail?
Well, he's had six top aides and associates go to jail.
Okay, six top
two of them.
Mm-hmm. Six. Okay. And we still don't know what those emails were, do we?
We know some of the emails, and they did not reflect well on Walker or his administration. I mean, there were the really racist and vile emails that were being casually passed around. But there was also a lot of internal discussions about using public resources to conduct campaign work, which very clearly violates the law.
Right.
And then also in the second investigation, there were very clear indications that Walker was specifically raising money for an outside group with the express purpose of allowing corporations to donate to his campaign and allowing individuals to support his campaign and support the recall efforts without any sort of public transparency, without public disclosure. That was the promise that was being made to donors.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Brendan, we got to get going. We appreciate it. How do we find out more about you and the Center for Media Matters?
Center for Media and Democracy.
Sorry,
we're at prwatch.org, and you can find us on Twitter and Facebook, too.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Brendan. We'll talk to you again soon. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor Stock Radio.